Turn with me back to the book of Proverbs, the wisdom book. And these first 8 chapters are called wisdom chapters. And we are considering the gospel from the book of Proverbs. And I hope that you have come to realize that the Bible is a book that teaches the gospel from different vantage points. And that's what we are considering in these chapters in the book of Proverbs. This evening, my topic will be honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. Honoring the Lord Jesus Christ. I take a text from Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, in doing justice to our subject, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to consider the context in which the text is stated. The context began in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We have to go back to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now this also has to do with honoring the Lord with your substance, with your money. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. When it comes to honoring God with your giving, you trust in the Lord and you do not lean to your own understanding. A lot of times we lean to our own understanding when we are giving to the Lord. But verses 7 through 10 shows how one trusts in the Lord with all their heart. As you go on to read, I remember it was almost 40 years ago. In the beginning of my Christian pilgrimage. Yes, it is that long. I can't believe it. When I started out as a young man, the first pastoral figure in my life placed his hand on my shoulder. I remember very well. And he quoted Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 to me. A young man in despair, doesn't know where he's going. And Pastor Maharis put his hand as a father to a son, because this is what this proverb is directing us to. He put his hand over my shoulder and he quoted me this verse. Up until now, I haven't forgotten him or this text. Every time I read it, I remember him. And it only goes to show how some men in our lives has a lifelong influence to us. I hope that over the years that I have influenced some of you for good. I still remember this. Now there are two important things given in this cluster of verses from Proverbs 3:3-10. And I will give you these two important things that are given that you will understand this portion of Scripture. One, there is an imperative that is stated in the whole cluster. Second, there is an indicative that follows. And I'm not an English grammar student, but you know what is an imperative. And you ought to know what is an indicative. And Theophilus and Tyler, you should know these English words. But in case you don't know, I will explain them along the way. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 reads, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. This is not an option. It is an imperative, and it is an imperative command to the Christian man, woman, boy, or girl. That's what an imperative is. It is an authoritative command from God to his children. Verse 6, part B. And he shall direct thy paths. This is an indicative. Okay? Now, Proverbs 3, 7 through 10 follows this trend with an imperative and an indicative. And this is how you should understand the message tonight. There are two basic headings in these verses. There are three, but I will make them two. Proverbs 3:3-10. The headings are: one, the danger of self-confidence. The danger of self-confidence or self-trust, if you want to say that. And two, the delight in Christian service. I could have also said the duty, but let's overall say it's the delight in Christian service. So first, I will consider the danger of self-confidence. The writer calls us in verse 3, to trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. This is an imperative. This is what you and I are called to do. And it has to do with our lives. We take God's word so lightly around here. This is a serious imperative. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and do not lean to your own understanding. If you and I heed this command, this church would be a lot different. Your life would be a lot different. But unfortunately, this isn't going to happen, because there are always tares and wheat in the church. This is the equivalent to what the Lord said to the man who inquired about the greatest commandment. Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus gave him an imperative. You know the word of God. You know it. All of you know it. The Lord told him that command was to love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. That is what God said to this man. When undertaking a decision in your life, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. When seeking a new position, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Lean not to our own wisdom. When seeking a place of worship, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. When seeking a path in service, the same thing applies. But it is followed by an indicative. In all thy ways acknowledge him, yes, and he will direct thy paths. And he will direct your paths. That's the indicative. You remember the servant of Isaac who said in seeking a bride, as I was in the way, the Lord being with me. Still applicable today. In all your ways, not some of your ways. The problem with us is we have too many sacred cows in our lives. Can't touch this, can't touch that. Get nowhere with that. All thy ways. Too many put the cart in front of the horse, to use a figure of speech. There's always a grave danger in self-confidence. So the subject of honoring the Lord Jesus Christ is first introduced in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, where we see the twin heads, an imperative followed by an indicative, and it runs all the way down to verse 10. Verses 7 and 8 continues in showing the danger of self-confidence. We should consider this very carefully, because many of us are too self-confident in going about our business and forgetting the Lord Jesus, forgetting the church, forgetting the Lord's will in our self-confidence. And if it goes on like this, we would sooner rather than later don't have a church, don't have a body of believers. Verse 7 goes on, be not wise in thine own eyes. You know, those that have an opinion of themselves, of their own sufficiency, think it hard to fear one who has a different opinion. And many times people don't come to you for counsel because they already know that your opinion is different. God, the church has no place. The Bible, let me put it this way, the Bible has no place in their lives. Absolutely no place, and yet they are Christians. Grave danger in self-confidence. We are to depart from evil according to the exhortation. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Second, in verse 8, there is the indicative that comes as a result of following the imperative. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now, this is a synonym for salvation. There are good results for one who fears God. Here, God is not talking about physical health to our bones, but he's speaking about spiritual health. When you trust in the Lord, the Bible says, it shall be health to your navel. I don't know much about the navel. Some of you women know more about it than I. And marrow to thy bones. As we get weaker in our knees, trusting in the Lord strengthens us in our souls. There are good results for the one who is fearing God. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Unfortunately, this is human pride. Wisdom in the scriptures is commonly related to salvation, not wisdom from Harvard and Yale. Christ is made unto us wisdom, sanctification, and justification. The world seeks wisdom from the world. Many have conceited or a conceited understanding of their own salvation and never depart from sin. They're leaning on their understanding of what salvation is and not what salvation really is from the scriptures. They are not about to listen to the proclamation of the gospel from a reliable, responsible source. They have a conceited understanding of salvation. Proverbs 28:26 counsels us, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. This word delivered is the same word as saved. There's a grave danger in being conceited in our confidence about salvation. We are to trust in the Lord, and we are not to lean on our own understanding when it comes to salvation. It is really the antithesis of faith when we do this, or trusting. So this is my first heading. I began in verse 3 and further extended the head to verses 7 and 8 with the imperatives and the indicatives under one head, the danger of self-confidence. Second, the last head, the delight of Christian service, and this is the thrust of my message this evening. The delight, or if you want to couple it with the duty and the delight, in verses 9 and 10. I will show the delight of Christian service, where I will draw this final point. There is also in this text an imperative, as I shared with you, and an indicative. First, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. It's not an option. Honor the Lord with thy substance. This is the whole duty of man. We ordinarily use this verse as a proof text for Christian giving, among many others. You probably heard it before. Now that is a fair application to the scriptures. I wouldn't argue with that. But this verse goes beyond tithing. It goes further than tithing. It goes to serving the Lord, first subhead, with our substance. Our substance is our being. Our substance is our lives. You may remember the prodigal wasted his substance. He wasted his life. He not only wasted his resources, but he wasted his life. And the Bible tells us how he wasted his life with riotous living. Living wild. Living without Christ. That's what it means. There are 7 days in a week, 24 hours in a day. When we add them together, how much of the passing of time is God honoring in your life? How much of that? How much? I have little time for television and these things. I watch it, yes, but most of the time he's watching me. But how much time is given to honoring God? I told this young man, you should be in the study 8 hours a day. Some of you may be preparing for a little Bible study. How much time are you consuming in your study, in your books? Are you scratching out some things and coming here? Well, you're not doing justice to God's people. It is not that easy as you think. We don't have an option. Honor God with your substance. Not our earthly substance, but our being. And you know the verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice. And that is holy and acceptable to God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Paul in 1 Corinthians 6:19 said, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which belongs to God. You honor the Lord with your body, with your substance, with your life, with your being. Be at the place God would have you to be at the time God wants you to be. This is not only the duty of man, But it is the delight of the Christian. It is the delight of the Christian. You hear me say it? Many times as you see these two young men this morning with their bottles in their hand and their ties cracked loose, they're exhausted. Exhausted from what? Honoring the Lord on the Lord's day. Some of us are exhausted, but we are exhausted from honoring ourselves on Sundays. The Bible is a very serious book, and the Bible is written for Christians to obey, not to talk about. Not with rigor, but we gladly use the Bible as a guide to obey our Lord, who has done so much for us. And we are delighted to get help from anyone who directs us to obedience. At least I do. I profited. I told you about that man that put his hand on me 40 years ago, a young boy, and tell me, "Brian, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding." And up to today, I remember him. Many times you have the wrong people in your life, and you look to the wrong people to tell you what you want. I watch. I look in here, and I see who gravitate to who. I see everything in this church. Are you helping people by putting your hands around them and sharing the word of God with them? They will remember you, and they'll thank you one day in the future. Charles Bridges, the one I'm using to aid me in Proverbs, you hear me quote from him, says, and I quote, "This rule of sacrifice is a costly precept to the worldling." The worldling is the worldly man and the formalist. "But to the servant of God, is it not a privilege to lay aside a portion of substance with the sacred stamp? This is for God." End of quote. Charles Bridges. Verse 9 goes on to say, "And with the first fruits of thine increase," the first fruits of increase were acknowledged because of redemption from Egypt, where the Israelites were in bondage. In Exodus chapter 13, verse 12, we read, Exodus chapter 13 and verse 12, there we read, "Thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that open up the matrix, the womb, and every firstling that cometh of a beast which thou hast. The males shall be the Lord's." And this is the commandment that Mary honored. "Not only the first fruits of produce, but livestock and human." It represented the whole. That's why the firstborn was offered. You and I have come to learn that entry into the land of Canaan is a figure of those who have entered into a saving relationship with Jesus. I believe we know this, but in case you don't, this is what the entrance to the land represents. It's not a perfect type, but it represents a person coming into the kingdom of God, a Christian. And God reminded them, when you do this, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your increase. Deuteronomy 26, 1 and 2 repeats the command. It says, "And it shall be, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance and possession of it, and dwelleth therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring to thy land, that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Do you understand this? Sometimes we put things in baskets, but our basket seems to have holes in them. Like when God was bringing judgment to his people, you work and you put it in baskets, and I put holes in it. I blow it away. Why? Because my house lieth waste. The Lord had a designated place that he had chosen for his people to bring their increase. Honor the Lord with your substance, or time, or lives, and with the first fruits of thine increase or resources. This commandment was ignored during the days of the last prophet, who challenged his people, saying, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear, saith the Lord of hosts unto you?" And notice who he faulted. "O priests that despise my name." And he said, "Wherein have we despised thy name?" It's like questions and answers going back and forth. "Ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that ye say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if ye offer the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil?" Read in Malachi 1, 6 through 8. "And if ye offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer that to your governor. Will he be pleased with thee? Or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts?" God's people in those days were offering that which was unfit. And we should listen to this carefully. We are ready for the governor and the mayor and these people. And I don't think if we had an appointment with Governor Hochul or Hochul or whatever her name is, that we will be late. I don't think so at all. I don't think if you were going for a job interview that you will be late. I doubt, because that's automatic firing. Well, you're not going to get the job. I give you the joke about this, the reality, and I heard this from a preacher. Two guys came for a job. I think it was in housekeeping. And the boss had this garbage strewn on the ground. First guy trampled across it and come in and sat down and was interviewed. The second guy came in, took it up, placed it in the bin. And the boss says, "I'm going to hire you. You're the right man for the job." A lot of times, you show if you're the right man for the job by what you do. And some of us are pretty sloppy, especially with God's word. Very sloppy. Too sloppy. Not honoring the Lord. Not meticulous about him. Shouldn't be like this. Not at all. Israel, now you know that the altar, this polluted bread on the altar of the Lord was where sacrifices were brought. We do not have altars today. We generally offer sacrifices to that which we love. Remember what God said to Israel according to Stephen? "O ye house of Israel, have ye offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yes. But notice what God said about those sacrifices. You took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your God, Rephan, figures which you made to worship them. And I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Even though they were offering the right sacrifices, they were truly offering to the devil. And even though we may be offering to God what we deem to be right, our hearts may not be the right place. God see that as idol worship. Israel offered sacrifice, but they were to the gods they had manufactured in their hearts. Today you and I can do the same thing. We can give ourselves to the God of this age. And Proverbs here calls us to honor the Lord with our substance, our lives, with the first fruits of our increase, with our resources. Now if back then, consider this with me. If back then the law required the minimum of increase, first fruits, from God's people, grace requires much more. I said the first fruits was a figure of all. Who is the first fruits, by the way?
Christ.
Who?
Christ is the first fruit?
Yes, you're correct. I didn't hear you. You're correct. But the believer also have become the first fruits. And that's why at Pentecost, the first fruits, feast of first fruits, was fulfilled. And therefore, we are offering ourselves to God. Our chinky, scrappy attendance at church. You think God is pleased with that? You really think so? I got news for some of us. These are imperatives. And they should be taught. Part of our substance which we honor the Lord with is also our finances. And it's good to hear some today who say, I'm expecting this and I'm expecting that. That's what we should do. Many who may not be earning still have finances. Honor God with that portion. The government lavishly gave out some money last year. And some of it really was unnecessary, but we take it anyway. God, I wonder why you send me a check. You know, send it to somebody else who need it. But how many of you remember God substantially? How many? That is when you should know what you're doing. Ah, this is mine. No, it's not yours. And we should think about these things. This is practical Christian living. There is nowhere in the new covenant where God says that our portion is 10%. Nowhere in the New Testament. Where did we get that from? If we are insisting on giving God 10%, let me ask you, do you want the Lord to give you 10% health? Will you settle for 10% health? Or would you like to have a 10% recovery, Charlie, from sickness? Would you like to be restored a 10%? Or do you prefer 10% understanding of the scriptures? I ask you these questions. And some of you are very weak. Jesus said, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. You know when you put that maize in the bag, and you shake. And I always see people pulling up the car with gasoline and rocking it. Like it's going to hold more gas when they rock it. Ain't going to hold no more. shaken together and running over. Will be put into your bosom. For the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Luke 6:38. You see paltry, wishy-washy Christians? It is because they're dishonoring God with their substance. As you measure, it will be measured back to you. Notice the text says, the first fruits of all thine increase. Have you increased in knowledge? Honor the Lord more. Have you increased in earthly things? Honor the Lord more. Have you increased in health? Honor the Lord with that health. All. Honor the Lord with that. How much of earthly gains are we giving to our Lord? I just mentioned the check that we had last year. Yeah, but Brian, you are asking too much. No, I'm not. Maybe I know of some today who seek to beat the system right here in this country. Not for the sake of the gospel, but for the sake of their pockets. They know every trick in how to beat the system. I don't know anything. Sometimes the things I hear that you can get, I don't have a clue. You better watch it. Some are willing to fudge a paper and tell lies. Some are willing to do that. One time we had a lady come in here and wanted me to falsify records that the church is paying her a salary in an effort to get a green card, and I flatly refused to do it. Falsify records to say she is employed by the church. It happened before, but not under my watch. So I say this to some. I don't have many friends, unfortunately. Is that honoring the Lord? Do you want a man of God doing that? Filling out and falsifying records to send to the government? The IRS will be right here in a minute. You hear these things from the pulpit, brother. That's where you should hear them. The Bible goes on to give you an indicative, verse 10. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. If it pleases the Lord, he may increase his people in that which is material. The principle in receiving from the hand of God is honoring the imperatives. Proverbs 10:3-4, the Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent God maketh rich. Principle in honoring God. When one honors God, God will honor them. How is it that some who have so little never lack? And how is it that some who have so much never have anything? God will make sure of that. The answer is simple. God put holes in their pocket. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. You want to know why your knowledge of Scripture is so little? Why you can't seem to make any headway in understanding the gospel? You need to consider this. God withholds even the truth from you. You want to know why some men seem to be pressing forward in their understanding? because they are committing themselves to honoring God. There's a spiritual spin on the verse that I've just read from Proverbs 11:24. When one is honoring the Lord with their substance, you will find that God will grant them greater understanding of the gospel. Their eyes will become wide open to the word of God. When one is not honoring God, their eyes will become dimmer and dimmer and further closed to the gospel. That explains why the church is the way it is, because of the people in the church. God's word is sure, and God will honor his word when we honor God. They will sow much. Much would be sown, but they will reap nothing. Do not honor God by the way to get. I would never tell you that. But the Lord is no man's debtor. And I proved this many times. I have been young. This is a favorite verse of many people. And now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, or his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. You know that verse. It's Psalm 37, 25, and 26. If you don't know where it came from. Now this verse doesn't mean what many teach. And I'll explain it quickly. And finally, the Lord's seed are those who are believers. Believers in the Lord Jesus. They are called the righteous. Never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed. The righteous, firstly, is Christ. The seed are those who are Christ or his seed begging bread. The bread that they will never beg for is Christ, the bread of life, not physical food. There are a lot of hungry saints. Read Hebrews 11, the closing verses. Hunger. Live in dens. Caves. Nothing to eat. Think of these people now in the Ukraine that is running for cover. Can't go in the supermarket. Fear of being shot down. Serving God. The bread they will never beg for is the bread of life. They will ever be fed with the fatness of the land, Christ. God is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. Christians have this indicative, not necessarily in material gains, but spiritual. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Now, you know, back in those days, the people that would gather the grapes would press, use presses to extract the juice from the grapes where they will make wine. When they honor God, he blessed their crops. Today the principle is different. In closing, we do not have wine presses to burst out with new wine. The new wine is the gospel. Jesus brought the new wine last at the marriage feast, as a symbol of who he was. The governor says, everybody just give you the good wine first, but you keep the best wine to last. And it refers to us, new covenant believers with the gospel. That's the best wine. Not to endorse Nigel drinking wine and rum. Everything Jesus did, gospel. And unless you understand the gospel, you haven't understood what he's saying. You would understand the wine. Pastor Tate, shout at me, Pastor Tate. Well, you want me to push your car, but you always telling us that we are drunkards. Jesus turned water into wine. They still come and push me out of the mud anyway. Right there in Manbury. So we don't have wine presses. We will have more gospel opportunities. When we honor God with our substance, He'll give us more. He will honor us. He will increase us spiritually. So this is our exposition this evening from Proverbs 3. The danger of self-confidence when it comes to honoring God. The delight of Christian service. How, honestly speaking, let me ask you, how would you rank yourself when it comes to honoring God with your life? How would you rank yourself? Which place does He has in your life? How do you utilize your increase? Do you earn and put your earnings in a bag with holes, never have anything, or just give the scrimps? Well, here's $5. Do you want $5 in blessing? And that's why some of us are sick and unhealthy, because we fail to honor God. We should heed the Lord's commands. So Proverbs 3 is very enlightening, very useful, but it's more than that. There are imperatives and there are indicatives, and you can read them again. May the Lord bless you, Brother Presley. That's prayer. This wonderful book, oh Lord, this wonderful book will keep us from sin, or sin will keep us from this book. We pray that we would read with the understanding, and that we would apply that which we have understood. Lord, we have made the Word of God simple. We have made it clear. We have made it plain. We pray, Lord, we know we cannot do anything that is good unless you enable us to do good. So enable us to do good. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.